This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. How about the L.A. Rams' huge Week 11 victory on Monday Night Football last night against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Bucks fall to 7-4. Rams improved to 7-3. And now joining us to talk about the Rams is a former Rams wide receiver. He's a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame and did win a Super Bowl championship with the Rams. And that, of course, is Isaac Bruce here with us today on behalf of the Isaac Bruce Foundation and also his podcast Ramblings that could be found by searching Believe, that's B-L-E-A-V in Rams. Mr. Isaac Bruce, thanks for the time. How you been, my friend?
Hey, I've been good, man. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
No problem. Always do appreciate when you come on. So I remember talking to you in the summer. You were very optimistic about the Rams. I know that they're 7-3 right now, and they're firing at all cylinders. Does this at all surprise you? Is this kind of what you kind of expected before the year began?
They're pretty much part of course, in my eyesight, my perspective. I think that, one of the biggest surprises this year is just how effective the running game has been. We've made a commitment to run the football. We're doing it by running back by committee right now. But, you know, we all know it starts and ends with what we can do up front as far as that offensive line is concerned. And they did a great job in the Seattle game. Monday night, the game kind of changed itself where we had to do a lot of pass pros, other than running the football. But, you know, the guys stepped up and gave Jared Goff the time to throw the football. And we're 7-3 right now, leading the NFC West.
And the thing to me that jumps right off the page when I look at the Rams this year, it's been the defense. And there was a lot of criticism in the offseason moving on from Wade Phillips, bringing in Brandon Staley. This defense, you look at every statistical category, they're top five in the league. This defense been awesome.
Absolutely, man. I think when you mentioned the Los Angeles Rams, you have to start off with Aaron Donald and company. Just everything that those guys are able to do from a talent standpoint, I think the Rams are right there. I think Aaron Donald, he sets the table. You have to give attention to him. That gives Coach Staley the leeway to really scheme his defense based on what offense wants to take away from our defense and make that focal point on Aaron Donald. That way you can play in the back half of the defense a little bit more man coverage. You can have your pressure packages. And not only that, but we've done a great job this year and last night in particular getting pressure on quarterbacks with just a four-man rush. Anytime you can do that, man, you're going to have a great defense.
Now, he did that last night. They rattled Tom Brady throughout the game, and he had two interceptions and never looked comfortable. I look at this NFC West. We all know it's the best division in football, and it's a three-team race to see who's going to emerge at the top. Yeah. I look at the Rams' defense, Isaac Bruce. I know their offense, it's a good offense, but I don't think it's the strength of this team. Defensively, I think that's going to be the difference maker because the Cardinals, their defense is hit or miss, and the Seahawks' defense has been bad throughout the year.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like I just mentioned. I don't think the defense is getting enough credit for the way that they've played thus far, 10 games into the season. So Aaron Donald, I mean, I just can't stop saying his name. He's a guy that I believe that should be up for MVP talks. His impact on the defense, how it affects an offense, how it affects his teammates, and gives other guys on that front line one-on-one opportunities, and those guys can really show what they're made of, and they can just unleash their potential where another guy like Aaron Donald is in the mix.
You know the league, though. They'll give it to a quarterback this year, MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're an offensive guy. You know that. Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce here with us. How about the two wide receivers? Last night they put on a clinic. Cooper Kupp, 11 for 145, and Robert Woods, 12 for 130 and a touchdown.
Absolutely. I was just really amazed. Wasn't shocked at all, but just gratefully amazed just to see those guys get the ball in their hands. And that's when they started to dance. It seems as if the game plan was to combat the pressure that the Bucs wanted to put on Jared Goff. And the best way to do that is kind of move the pocket, get the ball out of his hands pretty fast. And when you got guys like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp who can really dance when the ball is in their hands, man, they're a threat to take it to the house anywhere on the field. So just have two guys with over 10 catches, with accumulating 275 yards receiving, man. It was special, man.
Is there one wide receiver in football that to you is your favorite to watch, or do you kind of just like to watch a bunch of guys at the wide receiving position?
I like DeAndre Hopkins. I really like watching him play. I like Julio play. But what I really enjoy watching is just sitting back and seeing the maturation of a young guy come into the league. DK Metcalf is one of those guys. I mean, He started a little slow last year, but in that second year, you can see the development, the things that he worked on in the offseason start to come to fruition. So I really like watching young guys start to mature and get comfortable, and the game slows down for them.
And we all know you became a Pro Football Hall of Famer as we're talking to Isaac Bruce, but when was it that you start to really feel in your career that you were starting to show those signs that, hey, not only are you going to be a good wide receiver, you were going to be a great wide receiver?
Well, 1994, I was the third receiver for about 8 weeks, and at about the eighth or ninth week of the season, I felt like I was ready to go. I had started starting the second halves of games as the Z receiver on the team, and my confidence was really high. And it was at that moment where the game started to slow down for me, and I felt like I can go out and start to produce and create some stuff on my own. So it took me about 8 weeks. And after that, you know, it was just full go from there.
That catch, by the way, by Hopkins 2 weeks ago, how'd you process that? Well, you know, because Allen, it was a great throw, great catch by Diggs, but then the Murray-Hopkins thing was out of this world.
Well, the catch itself, I mean, the quarterbacks get a lot of credit, as they should. Murray, he did everything he could to make sure that play could happen and delivering football. But when you look at the catch itself, looking at DeAndre Hopkins, who's 6'1", surrounded by two Pro Bowlers, one All-Pro, really three guys, their best three defensive backs, and really out-jumps all three of them to come down with a game-winning touchdown catch. It's everything that every athlete or football player that's ever put on a helmet. You want plays like that, and just so happens DeAndre was just right there to just solidify it. Great play, man. He deserves everything that he got as far as that play is concerned.
Was the long TD snag that you had in the Super Bowl, was that your favorite catch of all time when you look back at your career?
You know, it was my second best catch, man. I tell a lot of people that, you know, it's up on my top five as far as my plays, but my number one catch of all time was Ricky Prohl in the NFC Championship, in the NFC Championship game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he caught that game-winning pass that propelled us into Super Bowl 34. So that's the biggest catch of my career.
When we look at Jared Goff, he's been to a Super Bowl before. He did not play well in the Super Bowl. There's been inconsistent moments for him in his career. This team is still 7-3. There's one thing to make the playoffs. There's another thing to get to Super Bowl. There's another thing to win it. Do you believe that the Rams eventually in Goff's career can win that big game with Goff there?
You know, anytime you have a guy that's led a team to the ultimate, which is the Super Bowl, the answer to that question is yes. I think we do a really great job playing towards his skill set and what he can do. He's a guy that can push the ball down the field. If we need to move the pocket, he's a guy that's comfortable doing that. And his ability to make quick decisions. He doesn't hold the ball, which is a plus for the offensive lineman. And those guys know where he is, so he doesn't give up unnecessary sacks. So I think with his skill set and what we like to do as far as with the running game is concerned, he's definitely a guy that can, you know what, get us to another Super Bowl, ultimately win a Super Bowl championship.
A few more with the Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Brady and the Bucks. I know they're 7-4. They'll probably be 10-6, 11-5 to finish out the season with the way that their schedule shakes on out. But there's been some times, the Packers game was their best victory of the season, but then there's some times where they just don't look like they're going to meet and reach their potential. Are there concerns with you with the Bucks when you look at them, or do you think they'll figure this out?
Honestly, you know what? Just knowing the, you know, the pedigree of, you know, Tom Brady and what he's done thus far, I mean, I think they're a team that will figure it out. I think he's going to push so hard, not only himself, but the guys around him, to a level that they've probably never been before. So just having that mindset, that championship mindset inside that locker room, a guy who won't allow a guy, other guys to slack or be comfortable where they are, I think they will figure it out. I think what they need is just a little bit more continuity between everyone, the guys on the perimeter and the guy throwing the football. Really just having an identity. If you want to run the ball to pass, or if you want to pass to run, I mean, they both can work. I played in both type offenses, and I just think a decision has to be made which approach you're going to take and then go from there.
When we get to Brady last night, clearly he was rattled and he had the two interceptions, and whenever you lose, you're upset and frustrated. I don't think it's a big deal, this whole handshake controversy after games, but a lot of other people, especially on Twitter, they're furious with Brady that he didn't stick around to shake the hand of Nick Foles and then Jared Goff in losses against the Bears and the Rams. You being a former player and a pretty damn good one, does that bother you if a player at your position on the other team runs off the field after the game and doesn't come up to you after the game?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an emotional game. It's a passionate game, and emotions are really high during, before, and after games. You know, it's the reason they give us 10 minutes to cool off once you hit the locker room before media access. You just really to try to collect your thoughts. It's no big deal. I think it's important that, you know, who knows if they have a relationship off the field. He could probably text, and they text back and forth. So, you know, it's about being who you are and really not really succumbing to public opinion in that aspect. If he doesn't want to shake hands, he just doesn't want to shake hands. You know, shoot him a text. They text each other, and they just go for it and go from there.
In the NFC West, you know, we talked about why we think the Rams are going to win that division. The NFC, though, it is wide open this year. It seems whenever some team is the top dog, Isaac Bruce, then they eventually fall, and then another team emerges for 2 weeks, and then they eventually fall. Are the Rams, to you, the team to beat in the NFC? Are you going that far with them?
I'll say they are this week. I say that because, you know, obviously just being in the moment and having that big game that we won on the road once again, last night, and we've proven that we can go on the road and win big games. I mean, I think that was probably our fourth or fifth state flight playing that game like that. But, you know, there are other teams that will emerge this week. I think that the Rams are that team. You know, we have to go back into the lab and prepare to play another division opponent, an opponent who knows what we like to do, and we know them as well. So, it's going to be a high-level chess match, and hopefully we come out, play as well as we did Monday night, and get us another victory. We're week to week, man.
If you couldn't say the Rams, because I know you're always going to say the Rams because you are a Ram player and you're always a fan of the team, and I expect you to say the Rams, but if not the Rams, who's the team in the NFC that you think is the best after L.A.?
Oh, absolutely, Seattle. I think because of being led by a guy like Russell Wilson, he's never out of a game. He's always a fighter, great competitor, makes some of the best acrobatic throws that I've seen from a quarterback in a very long time. I think he's one of those upper echelon quarterbacks. And anytime you have a quarterback at the lead like that with a defensive-minded coach, as in Pete Carroll, a guy who can, you know, for four quarters, he can piece some things together and have a great defense along with what Russell Wilson can do, man. They're definitely a team that you have to keep your eye on. I mean, they're 7-3. They've had some games where they probably just weren't happy with the performance. But at the same time, they've had some games where, you know, Russell Wilson was just, he was just magnificent in his approach. And these guys have playmakers on the offense. And, you know, they're definitely a threat, not only to the NFC West, but the NFC as a whole.
I love Russ, but that defense, man, it's brutal. Yeah, I know you put up 100-something yards on almost everybody, but I think you put up like 200 yards if you played that defense.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun to get an opportunity. But to be honest, I think, you know, they have some guys coming back on that defensive side of football. And I think you'll see a little change in the next coming weeks as far as their approach defensively.
Tell me what you got cooking right now with your foundation, the Isaac Bruce Foundation, and also your podcast, Ramblings, which could be found on the Believe in Rams podcast network.
Yeah, we just completed our live auction, which went really well. We're in the process. This is normally time where we would put together a gala, but we're always accepting donations, new sponsorships from partners. People want to partner with us to help us make an impact. Always can find everything that we're doing on isaacbruce.org and go there, get all the information. But it's just fun. And the podcast itself is really fun. I do it and I host it with a former college teammate of mine, Marcus Holliday. And we do a great job just featuring the Rams and everything that Rams go through, every game that they play. We give a preview later in the week, and it's fun to do.
Now, do you ever think when you were playing you would be involved in the media world? You ever think that?
Not really. Wasn't really a big media guy. I thought they were a little evasive for my liking. But, you know, as time went on, I knew that they had a job to do as well and just knew the combination between the business side of what we do and the entertainment side of what we do. It had to be dispersed somehow. So, therefore, the media was always there, and they did their job and did it well.
You ever get into a good altercation, little fight with the media? Those are always my favorite stories. Is there one that still stands out to you after all these years?
Media Day, Super Bowl 34. I think me and Rick Riley, we had a little back and forth.
Really?
It was pretty interesting. You know, I felt like he almost got me game tempo, which was probably his goal. But you know, he failed miserably in the end. So.
Wait, so what exactly happened? Give me your side of the story of it. What exactly happened with you and Rick?
Well, honestly, we kind of got into a conversation about the former, the late golfer that his plane crashed. I think weeks before the Super Bowl actually was taking place, Super Bowl 34. We just got into a conversation about it, about my beliefs, about Rick's personal beliefs, and what he may have thought was the golfer's belief. His name is slipping my mind right now, but
Payne Stewart.
You know, Payne Stewart. He's the guy. Yeah. So we just kind of, you know, kind of went back and forth there. I try to quell it because I'm a peacemaker at heart, and you know, but it got a little rough. But like I say, he failed miserably.
Interesting. I'm sure there's probably some clip of it somewhere. I'll have to look it up. Now, media day at the Super Bowl. It's not going to be obviously what it once was this year. Who even knows what it's going to look like? It'll probably be all via Zoom. Some of those questions though that get asked now it's a show. It really is a show now.
Well, I think it's an opportunity for players and people of the media. I mean, as we've seen guys make their names a little bit more famous than they are at media day. So, you know, people can take that opportunity to just ask some outlandish questions or come out in some outlandish costumes. And, you know, people can make names for themselves. It's an opportunity and a platform for the guys who are performing in the Super Bowl and the guys who are covering it.
One last thing for you, just getting back when we talk about your favorite catch. So your best career catch, or when I asked you that question, it was actually not even one of your catches. It was Ricky Proles?
Absolutely. That's it.
That's amazing. See, it speaks to the type of teammate that you are, you know, because when you said it, I'm thinking, I go, he's talking about Ricky's catch, not a catch that he made, and that was the question.
Yeah.
That's a good job out of you. That shows what type of teammate you are. You doing anything good for Thanksgiving this year?
Yeah, I'm being thankful, man, being grateful. You know, it's been 2020 has been a year for me full of bounty and full of goodness. So I'm enjoying it, just spending time with my family. We get a chance to really reminisce and be thankful, having an hour of power. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, keep up the great work. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
No problem.
There he is, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Isaac Bruce. A perfect time to let you know that the Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. Going a little duo here. Both Rams wide receivers Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, the pair combined for 275 receiving yards and 23 receptions and one touchdown on the season. The duo have combined for 118 catches, 1,321 yards, and 7 scores. The player of the week, and we give it to two people, it's Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp for the Rams' big,
big victory on Monday Night Football against the Bucks. Was sponsored by Grainger for all the ones who get it done. There's Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. When we return, I almost gave it to you at 8:45 p.m. Eastern. Then my mind got sent in a bunch of different directions because we were trying to guess what the lineup's going to be on Thursday and Friday when a bunch of snobby radio hosts, yours truly, are going to enjoy their vacation and enjoy the Thanksgiving. When I started that segment, I was going to tell you who the big surprise guest is that we're going to have tomorrow. Well, when we return, I'll tell you who that is. You don't want to miss it. Zach Gelb Show right here, CBS Sports.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
That's right. And also, let me remind you that Thursday, it's a special Thanksgiving Day edition of the NFL on CBS as Deshaun Watson and the Texans take on the Detroit Lions. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific with the NFL Today. And on Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader features a marquee matchup between Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs and Tom Brady's Bucks. It's a full weekend of football with the NFL on CBS. Now, Trace, I'll get to the news brief here in just a second, but I need another voice on the show to try to help me make a decision here. And somehow I'm going to go with you, even though I got a text from the bosses during the break. Make sure there's no vodka or champagne in your pasta.
No fun allowed here. You know, that's what I saw.
What did you say? It was a champagne vodka sauce?
Yeah, I messed that one up. I didn't really know how else to describe it.
I had no clue what you were talking about. So what were you actually having for dinner?
So it's tortellini, and obviously, you know, you have vodka sauce, but
and a champagne
replace
sauce.
Replace the vodka with champagne, yes.
Gotcha. Did it taste like rigatoni alla vodka?
Yeah.
Okay, so there was no noticeable difference.
There's a slight, it's a little bit sweeter.
A little bubbly, a little extra bubbly.
Yeah, you know, the room is spinning a little bit here. I hope I can make it to 10 o'clock.
It's
I don't know.
Zach Gelb, Ryan Trace.
Hope I hit the brakes, sir. You know, advertisers won't be getting their money.
Should I say who the guest is that's joining us tomorrow?
Yes. You teased it yesterday and the show, so people are on the edge of their seats. We teased it at 8:45, so they're even closer to the edge of their seats. At this point, they're probably on the floor.
Now,
so I think we give them a bone.
It's not sports related. I'm sure we'll find a way to incorporate some sport conversation. But my favorite TV show recently has been The Jersey Shore. I've been a big fan for a long time of The Jersey Shore. Get crazy, get wild, whatever the song is. So, the last few weeks, someone followed me on Twitter. And Alec, I've talked to Pauly D before. I've talked to Vinny from The Jersey Shore. But I got this follow request and I was like, oh, wow. I got a little notification that Mike the Situation started to follow me. Now, Mike the Situation actually announced today that he has a child that will be born in May of 2021. Right? I think it was May of 2021 on the release today. Him and his bride, Lauren, are having a little baby. Mike the Situation is going to join us tomorrow. And I think he's the perfect Thanksgiving guest. You want to know why? You a Jersey Shore fan?
I am not. I'm sorry.
He's a food, or as he likes to say it, foods aficionado. This man will give us a great breakdown on what you should have on your Thanksgiving table and what are the things that are overrated, what are the things that are underrated. And I'm curious what his family traditions are when it comes to food for Thanksgiving. So we're going to have a crazy interview with Mike the Situation tomorrow. You may want to check my Twitter feed, at Zach Gelb, at some point tomorrow. I'm going to drop a ridiculous photo of me tomorrow. Shows you how big of a fan of the Jersey Shore I am. So, Mike, the Situation tomorrow on the show. Plus, we'll have Gus Verratt join us. And we're also efforting, right? Are you efforting right now a college football guest? I booked the other two. Can you get me a college football
yes,
guest?
Yes, sir.
But I want like a least, good college football guest.
The least
guest.
I can do.
Not some. I will not do a boring writer.
No. The one thing the Zach Gelb Show does not do, boring.
Boring writers. We do not do boring writers. You have to be an exuberant writer. So I want to get a college football guest on tomorrow. Talk about the top four of the college football playoff. which you have Alabama number one, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish at number two, Clemson three, and right now, and at the number four spot, the Ohio State University. So we're working on a few things. Now, when you say efforting, should I be expected to be disappointed? Is efforting just, I'm stalling, I'm trying to find someone, or you have a list of people that maybe I'll review after the show and I'll tell you who we should pursue?
I got names. I got thoughts.
Okay.
I'm not here to disappoint. We're not the Ravens. We're not the Buccaneers. We're here to exceed expectations.
All right. Those two teams are not living up to the hype. Now, when my producing position is open, which it currently is, I was told Connor Green, Ryan, Trace Hickey are like the Ravens and the Buccaneers, the two teams that people are expecting greatness from. I didn't say that you're like the Ravens or the Buccaneers with how they're playing right now, but when the list came out, Ravens, Buccaneers, I said I was getting two of the elite people to fill in on my show. See if one of you end up being classified as a Ravens or Buccaneers, or will one of you be the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll find out about that. Anywho, anyhow, anyway, we go to a news brew. Ugh. What did I just say? We go to a news brew? Now, I'm the one that may have that champagne vodka sauce. We go to a news brief. News brief. Bruce Arians is confused as to why the team hasn't played consistent football this season.
At times we look really, really good. And then there are times when we obviously don't. I felt very, very comfortable in the 2-minute drive until that throw. We made some plays, and obviously we didn't make enough in this ball game, offensive, defense, or special teams, to win.
Every time I hear Bruce Arians, he basically just says, you know, I always feel as if we're prepared and we had a good week of practice and I feel good about the team, and then something goes wrong on the field. He's basically saying the players aren't executing. Can we have a little accountability from Brucey Arians, please? Brucey, can we be a little accountable? Bruce Arians says the biggest area of improvement has to be execution. Wow, what a timely transition that was. Go ahead.
We got to execute better. You know, when guys are open, we got to hit them, and we can't misread coverage. We got to protect a little bit better when we do have guys deep.
Anything your fault?
And let him hit that
Bruce,
guy.
Bruce.
Instead of have that pressure that costs us an interception.
Bruce. How about yourself?
As a collective, everybody's got to play better.
Does Bruce Arians ever take accountability here? Have you ever heard him say once this season, I have to coach better?
I haven't heard it, no.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not giving Brady a pass. Brady was god-awful last night. He stunk last night. But at least you hear Brady post-game say that he has to be better. Bruce Arians is, not my fault. We got to execute better. Everything's working. Leftwich, it's working. The play calls are working. In practice, it's working. We get to the games. My players don't execute. It's on the coach, too. Not just the players. Bruce Arians says Tom Brady is lacking continuity in this offense, not confidence. This is from today.
I don't think it's a confidence problem whatsoever. It's just still it's not lack of trust. It's just lack of continuity within the offense of the whole picture.
Wait, he just said it's not a lack of trust. It's a lack of continuity. That kind of doesn't make sense. So he's basically saying Brady believes in the offense, but since he hasn't been in the offense for a while, that's part of the struggles. Well, we're in week 11 now. You just wrapped up week 11. That excuse works week 4, week 5. I'm not saying he doesn't trust the players around him, but maybe he's not as comfortable because he was somewhere for the last 18, 19 years and worked out pretty damn well. I don't really get that one. Doesn't make sense to me. Once again, I think Bruce Arians, he just gives too much. You don't have to say, oh yeah, it's not a lack of trust, it's continuity. Just say, hey, we got to play better. I got to coach better. Tom's got to play better. The offense got to block better. We got to run the football better. Receivers got to catch the football. That's all you got to say. You give the simple coaching lines here. Let's hear Tom Brady says Monday night wasn't a good night for the offense.
Tonight was very inefficient. Did not a very good job there in the second half. Defense played great. Kept coming up with huge stops, getting us the ball back. And offensively, we just couldn't make the plays that were necessary to be efficient. And we had plenty of chances, so got to get them fixed.
There you go. Brady's basically telling defense is fine. offense. We stink, and he's included in that week. Sean McVay, he's fired up for a complete team win. Let's hear John Gruden Jr.
Great team win right there. I mean, really, all three phases came up in the clutch. It's a great football team. A lot of respect for Coach Arians and the Bucs. You can see why they've done what they've done up to this point. But I just love the way our guys stay together. Matt Gay coming through at the end. Jordan Fuller with the interception.
Every time I hear Sean McVay speak, I imagine it. Remember when you were a kid, you go to friendlies and you suck the helium out of the balloon? Doesn't that sound like Sean McVay? Like, let me tell you what, guys. Man, I'm so proud of the team. Unbelievable job. Oh, great job. That's what he says. He sounds like John Gruden on helium. That's what it is. I love McVay, though. Well, let me hear one more, McVay. McVay says they can't get too caught up in their 7-3 record. Let me tell you what, man. Or let me tell you what, man.
It says that we're 7-3 and we got to go see if we can get our 8th win. That's it. I'm proud of these guys. I love this team. I love how connected they are. But I think we all know that this is one win. It's a great win. But, you know, you got to reset. You got to hit the reset button. We've got to continue to improve.
And that's a news brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Just got a tweet from DJ. He says, hey there, Zach. Congrats on your weight loss. I was curious if you were Jewish. If so, do you have a favorite thing in Jewish cuisine? I'll tell you what that answer is when we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We also have a closing bell as well to ring.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I just remembered. I'll get to this in the closing bell. I was reading an article today about Mike McCarthy with the sledgehammer with fruit. It's one of the great stories. I will tell you about it coming up in just a second, where he's sledgehammering watermelons in a team meeting. And that's what inspired the Dallas Cowboys to take down the Minnesota Vikings. How do you like them apples? Or how do you like them melons? Probably better. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now, Mike McCarthy is sledgehammering watermelons? Also, did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So I am Italian. I am Jewish. I also celebrate Christmas the last 2 years. This year I'll be working on Christmas, but I'll celebrate Christmas on Saturday with my family. I'll dress up as Santa Claus and go visit my baby cousins. So I'll do that. I'll walk in with the presents. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. But someone asked me, since I'm Jewish, what's my favorite Jewish food? I'm a big fan of spinach matzah pie. Unbelievable. Very good spinach matzah pie. And my mother also makes an incredible matzah ball soup. I'm really, though, like for Passover, not a fan of gefilte fish. But I will devour the spinach matzah pie. Now, you also make matzah brei. That's a tremendous breakfast as well. What's your fave for Christmas? What's your favorite holiday? I'm assuming Christmas is your favorite holiday, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's what I'm trying to say. Today, Junior, I should say to myself. That's some radio karma. I was making fun of you, and now I can't speak.
No, then one of us has been drinking today.
What is your favorite food item on Christmas?
So, I really can't answer that. We don't really have too many traditional, I feel like, Christmas foods, to be honest.
Christmas cookies?
Oh, yeah.
Ham?
I'm not a ham guy. Like, I'm a very picky eater, so, like, Christmas, to me, like, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the food is the same like I would normally eat. Mm-hmm. Nothing really crazy. Not a big ham guy, no.
And Thanksgiving?
Well, not a lot.
Not turkey. No one
let's just say
turkey.
This. If I got an invite to the Gelb household, I would be,
you'd be living
in
lunch.
My element.
Any
I would
other
be
year.
In my element.
Erica Herskowitz, who does updates for us, she was also agreeing that her kids don't want turkey. I said, any other year, Erica, I would invite your entire family over to the Gelb Casa to have lasagna and cookie cake. But this year, we can't do it. I can't be having 35 people, especially random people. It's just going to be me, my dad, my mom, grandma, and grandpa. That's it. That's all we're going to have for Thanksgiving this year. Keeping it very, 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 very small. And I wonder if my Uncle Kenny's actually going to take the trip over. Right now, he said, game time decision, probably doubtful, though. That's how he classified his status, which I said to him, that doesn't make any sense. You're a game time decision, probably doubtful. That's two injury reports. I got to know what the, are you doubtful? You're a game time decision, because game time decision is questionable to me, correct?
Yes, definitely.
So he's got to make up his mind.
Maybe he's going to test it out pregame, one of those, like, you know,
well, so
wake up, see how he feels.
We made the same amount of lasagna as if it was a normal Thanksgiving.
How many people are at a normal Gelb Thanksgiving?
I would say about 10.
So double the recipe. Oof, that's
no,
a lot
actually,
of lasagna.
Actually, probably 12.
It's a lot of lasagna to eat.
Normal Gelb Thanksgiving. My Uncle Kenny, his wife, that's two. My sister, her husband, that would be then four. My grandparents, six. My parents, that's eight. Me, I'm nine. Then my Uncle Kenny's three daughters. One's a stepdaughter. So 10, 11, 12. Then my Uncle Michael, his wife, 13. It's usually 14 people. So we made lasagna for 14. I said to my uncle, what are you doing? Because it's one of those things, right? You just make the same. He's already made the sauce. And the sauce is in the fridge. And then, you know, he defrosted it, make this whole big thing. So he basically made lasagna for 14 people and go, oh, yeah, there's this thing called COVID. I forgot it's not going to be that many people. So
that's good for leftovers, though. Everyone always talks about the turkey sandwiches. You have that great lasagna on Friday.
But I got to be careful because I'm losing a lot of weight. So I got to be careful. Now, I've been on the elliptical Monday, yesterday, hour. Today, 90 minutes on the elliptical, hour 30.
Wow.
I had to move that tushy today.
So you deserve it. Come on. It's a cheat weekend. Who cares?
Yeah.
Everyone's doing it, you know?
Thursday, Friday will be my devoured days. But I'm not, you know, if there's lasagna on Saturday, yeah, probably.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of lasagna Saturday,
All right. Let's
Sunday.
Get to the closing bell anyway.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Rams defense, tremendous. Rams wide receivers, tremendous. Sean McVay, tremendous. And how about Matt Gay? He got waived by the Bucs, was on the Colts practice squad. First game with the Rams against one of his former teams in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Game-winning boot. How do you like me now? Matt Gay just said to Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians probably said, yeah, I'm not the reason why we lost the game. No, you know, it's not me. It's the execution of the players. Stock up to the 7-3 Rams who are going to win the NFC West. How about the offseason the Lakers are having? NBA champions. And they get Montrezl Harrell. They get Schroeder, too. It's a pretty good offseason for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now Stu Kovacs, you know, sweet, innocent kid. He's going to become obnoxious. Oh, how do you like my Lakers? He's already getting a little cocky on Twitter. I see that Stu Kovacs. Already thinking he has a back-to-back championships won. Stock up, Stu Kovacs. And the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, it's good to be Stu. Raiders, Lakers. He's a Yankee fan too.
Notre Dame number two.
Oh, Notre Dame. Stock up to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Stock up to Bama for being one. Another stock up to Notre Dame for being two. Stock up to Clemson for being three. Stock up to the Ohio State for being four. And we're not going to give you any more. Those are the top four right now for the college football playoff. All right, I got to get to this Mike McCarthy story. I would say one of the greatest speeches ever was on a hotel on Long Island when Rex Ryan was annoyed, and he then said, let's eat a GD snack. That's how he ended it. Well, Mike McCarthy, I guess this was on Saturday. He's trying to pump up his team before their big Sunday game between the Cowboys and the Vikings, where the Cowboys did win. Mike McCarthy, according to SI, gets up and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for this week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Minnesota running backs Dalvin Cook's hands. Pelissero, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, said on Monday, at that point, Mike McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer. Not a prop, a full sledgehammer you could knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy read the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the road doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy pants are soaked. He finally gets the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I've got to get this one. He hands a sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes the watermelon. Can't you just imagine something going wrong here? It's great. How did DeMarcus Lawrence miss the game? Well, Mike McCarthy was given a speech sledgehammering watermelons, and then DeMarcus Lawrence cut off his hand. JPP would be like, oh, I know what to do there. That was with fireworks, though. When I was a kid, when I was in high school, remember Fruit Ninja Warrior? We thought one night we were going to reenact Fruit Ninja Warrior. So I'm in my buddy's Alex's house, and we're tossing fruit objects with a knife in our hand and just smashing the food in midair. No one got hurt. I don't know how. Mike McCarthy, Zach Gelb, sledgehammer and watermelon. Stock up to Mike McCarthy. Stock up to Charlie Morton. Signed a one-year deal with the Atlanta Braves. Stock down to Tom Brady for his performance last night on Monday Night Football. And then finally, if you are someone that actually cares if Tom Brady shakes hands or not with the opposing team quarterback, you are a loser. All right? I'm not saying that I advocate the behavior. I just don't care. Oh, what about sportsmanship, Zach? What about sportsmanship? It's almost as if people are sitting on their couch waiting for Brady to lose, and then he doesn't shake hands. Oh, I didn't do it, Nick Foles. I didn't shake hands with Jared Goff. Who cares? Find something better to do. Stock down to the Tom Brady handshake police crowd. Loser, loser, loser. Fun show today. Trace, great job. Thanks all to all the listeners, all the tweeters, all the callers. Spectacular show. Isaac Bruce, big thank you too. And also Josh Booty. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.